What is up, fam? Welcome back to the Well That's Good podcast. Y'all, I am so excited for today. I'm fangirling, honestly, because I am so excited to talk to our guest today. She is no stranger. You guys have probably seen her, if not worshipped alongside of her. She is in Maverick City. She leads Gyra. I mean, come on. That's huge. She has been a part of so many great things through Maverick City, and just she is an incredible person. She also has a new album out called Journey that is 22 tracks of just great stuff. So I cannot wait to interview her on this new album and also get to know her story more, because like I said, we know her voice, but I can't wait to get to know her. So without further ado, welcome to the Whoa That's Go podcast, Naomi Rain. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thank you. I'm super excited to be with you. I've been wanting this for many, many moons.
Well, we are pumped. The feeling is very mutual. I was just telling Naomi before she popped on that I saw her at the Kayla Fan Awards, and I was like so close to going to introducing myself, but there were so many people, and I was like, okay, better not. And look at how good God is. Full circle. Now you're on the podcast, and we get more time to talk. So I'm stoked. Super excited. Well, hey, I ask everybody the same question when they get on the Whoa Let's Go podcast. It's the first question of every podcast. It's a little intimidating, but it's, what is the best piece of advice that you've ever been given?
The best piece of advice I've ever been given is from Kirk Franklin.
Let's go.
Now, okay, but I do want to preface this by saying, maybe if you asked me like 3 months ago, I would have said something else. But right now, this is the piece of advice
that's
that I'm
right.
giving
that's right.
right now. But it was from Kirk Franklin, and he said, don't ever get so comfortable in who you are that you think that God needs you.
Wow.
And he was basically saying, like, God doesn't need you. He can use anybody. And
wow.
You just happen to be the one who he's lending songs to now, who he's speaking through right now. He said, but there will come a time in your life and in your career where there will be someone else that comes, and you've got to be just already in that mindset that like God can use and choose whoever he wants. And I love that, because, and not that I was thinking that I am the only person God can use, but I think it's so good to set your heart there and like in gratefulness of like, man, like this is a blessed moment and this is wonderful, but it won't last. And that's okay. You know, and so whatever's next is next, but what's now is now. And I'm just loving that advice. It's keeping me,
I love that.
It's like guardrails, you know, super nice.
That's so good. I remember when my family used to have a TV show, and my mom would always say, she was like, hey, y'all, when this is over, it doesn't change anything about who we are. It doesn't change our life. And she talked about how like a lot of people in 15 minutes of fame, if you will, like when they get that, then they start to change everything about who they are. And then when they start to see it ending, they try to grab onto all these different things and do all these different things. And they are actually starting to lose the essence of who they are, you know, and they actually start to become more empty in the search of trying to gain everything. And my mom would just always encourage us with that. And it was so good, because by the time that ended, we all, you know, welcomed in a new season of life. And it wasn't less than, it was just different than, you know. And you're right. God uses different people. And God, and I think, you know, sometimes he even uses you just in a different way, you know, in different seasons. So
yeah,
I love that.
Yeah.
I saw a quote. I don't know where you said it, but you're talking about, maybe it was a car chat with Kirk Franklin. And it was a moment where he gave you another piece of advice about just the duality of being a worship leader and an artist. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was so good, because that is a hard balance for so many people to find. We actually are starting, we're starting a worship band right now. We actually just, by the time this podcast comes out, we'll have released our first EP, which is so exciting.
Yay!
I know. We've been working on this for like 4 years, so we're pumped. But the people who are, you know, doing it with me, the artists, they're just incredible people, and they've never done anything like this. Like, their worship has always just been at church. It's been in private moments. And we had this long conversation of like, okay, how do you, you know, not feel like you're performing whenever you're leading, you know? How do you like keep it that genuine? And so I wanted to ask you about that, like just that difference of, hey, you're a worship leader and you're an artist. I mean, you're leading and it's not a perform. What does that look like?
I mean, for me, okay, so boo, 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 boo. I think when I was younger, I've always been writing songs, and I've always been like, I'm saying always, like always is always, but since I was seven, I've been writing and doing music. And when I shared them, I found that even when I was sharing a song that wasn't a worship song, it always leaned into worship. It was like, I could be singing a Beyonce song and somehow I'm talking about Jesus at the end. And I'm like, you know, like leaning into that. I don't know how that happens, but it was always just a natural bent for me. Like, this is where I go because this is what's in my heart, you know, like I'm just grateful to God, you know? And so I think for me, it's never been separate. If that makes sense. And if I'm honest, when Kirk said that to me at the award show, he was like, let's go, artist. Like, he was really like going in. I was a little confused because I was like, I did nothing but worship God, you know? And I wasn't confused, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I was just worshiping. I think that there's a level of, okay, so instead of saying performing, I would say maybe artistry,
it's
right?
Good.
Which,
yeah.
To me, I think if I take it away from like the performing arts and make it more like visual arts, I think people can palette it better. Is that a word? It's more palatable.
It works. It works.
I'm going to make up a bunch of words today. I just want
you to
know.
Welcome.
It's just my creativity. I'm just going for it. Is that okay?
Oh, that's totally welcome. I mean, why not make up more words? Let's do it.
I promise we'll understand them, but I feel like if we look at it in terms of the visual arts, we look at a canvas, right? And we could like take paint and splash it and throw it on at the canvas. And that would be beautiful, right? And that has a space in terms of what is art and what we've given to the Lord. Let's say this was a picture we were painting for the Lord. But I think there's something else when you take time and actually paint a subject, right? And you're going in and maybe you start on the sketch or the outline of it, and then you come back in and fill it in with color, and then you come back again and start shadowing. And now there's greater detail. One is not more valuable than the other.
Yep.
It's just that one shows, number one, a level of skill and time that was put into it. There's there's an attention and a focus and a detail. And I think that artistry and creativity has been vilified in the church for a long time because I think that we know that when we see something good, we can start to worship ourselves, you know, as if like we, like that it's all us. And I think that there's a space for that even too.
Yeah.
And I'm not like this. And this is why I feel like the Lord is bringing me out of like, you know, like kind of like false humility and like, nothing. Like, you're not nothing. There's a level of time, skill, and energy that's been put into this that you're now crafting this for the Father. It's a gift to Him.
That's good.
If I was making my parents a meal, I wouldn't just throw them something together.
Yeah.
I would make it. I would put my energy into it and put my heart into it so that it would be beautiful, not acceptable, because He accepts even the splash paint and the thrown together thing. And this is what I believe about our worship, if that makes sense.
Makes so much sense,
But I think there is something to crafting, putting together that sculpting and making sure you get all, and so there's skill, there's rehearsal, there's time and practice put into it. So to answer the question, I think that the performance aspect is more the artistry. It's the presentation.
Yeah.
You know, it's not putting it on a garbage lid. It's putting it on a plate.
Yeah.
Maybe not a paper plate, which is my new single that just dropped.
Which is so good.
It's not about, it's like a shameless plug. But like it's about like presentation. And I think that some of us believe that worship, especially if it's spontaneous, if we haven't like that, it comes from nowhere. I think that there's still a level of like, oh no, I bring everything that I have and I lay it down at His feet.
It's good.
You know? And I lastly want to say this. I'm sorry. I know
I'm
talking a lot.
Oh, keep talking. It's good.
But I think, you know, the whole Cain and Abel thing, right? Like Cain brought a sacrifice that God did not ask for. Yeah. Abel brought what was acceptable. And I think that acceptable is different than like skillful.
Yeah.
And excellent. Wow. You know what I'm saying? I think that we can start to think that because it is something that is beautifully prepared and worked on, that it's no longer acceptable because it's fleshly. But in my Bible, God says that he created the heavens and the earth, and then he said, it is good. Yeah. I think there's something to making something and going, wow, that's good, you know? And so I don't know. I think I'm trying to, and I'm not saying I'm there all the way. It's where I'm trying to get to a space where I'm not completely judging what I give to him. Yeah. It's not for me. It's for him. And I'm hoping that it is acceptable, but because Jesus' blood was shed, it's acceptable. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I don't have to worry about that anymore, about being rejected. All right, I'm about to get into a
Come
whole
on.
Thing.
But. Hey, girl, you do not have to stop here. Everybody is loving this. I know people listening are like, yes. And I just love how you lay out even just worship. Like, and you're going to so many different places of the Bible, and it's so meaningful to you. It's so real to you. And I also love how you said you can worship to Beyonce and somehow it ends with Jesus, because you'll love this. So we were recently just in a small friend group circle and worshiping, and I'm not a worship leader. I was just worshiping in the circle, and it's just my friends. And so I was about to take us into another song based off of where we were at, and I just start singing. I was so serious. I thought it was a worship song, and it just came out. I was like, the way you hold me, hold me. And I start singing Justin Bieber, Holy. And it was so funny. I was just singing, like, eyes still closed, singing. And someone just starts laughing and say, are you singing Justin Bieber? And I was like, oh my gosh, I totally am singing Justin Bieber. But I was just worshiping. And I think when you have a heart posture to worship, it's just like, man, like, just, it just comes out of you. Like, whatever you're talking about, whatever it is, somehow it ends in Jesus. Whatever you're even hearing and listening to, somehow it relates to Jesus. And it's so cool when you have the eyes to see that. You see it. It's awesome. I love it. Y'all, we all grew up at camp around here. We are camp kids. We love camp, love a good camp game, camp song. All of it is so fun. Summers at camp are definitely awesome. And my kids are too young for camp, so I got to have some other things to entertain them. And KiwiCo is a great way to bring camp right to your door. Some of the fun of camp, at least. KiwiCo delivers some seriously fun learning games for kids of all ages through hands-on projects and activities. Every month, kids receive crates packed with projects and items to help them explore science, technology, and art in ways that will capture their attention no matter what their age. So I mentioned our love for camp. My mom actually was the craft director at camp all my life. And so she was always doing new crafts and teaching us crafts and led all the kids in that. And so it really is fun to get to do some crafts with the kids at home, especially with KiwiCo, because they always have an educational element to them for no matter what age your kids are. So even Honey, the little crafts that KiwiCo has sent are great because it's teaching her things that I might not necessarily think to teach her at this age, but through a fun way, it helps her. KiwiCo will help you engage your child's natural curiosity and encourage them to be an innovator and creative thinker. They'll learn new skills and new connections and build the confidence that they need to navigate through the world. We have loved watching Honey and Haven grow and learn, and thankfully, KiwiCo has made it so much fun along the journey. So redefine learning with play. Explore projects that build confidence and problem-solving skills with KiwiCo. Get 50% off your first month on any crate line at KiwiCo.com with the promo code Sadie Robb. That's 50% off your first month at KiwiCo, KiwiCo.com with the promo code Sadie Robb. Y'all know I love a good story. I love hearing about a story, listening to a story, and there are so many unforgettable stories and characters out there, and Audible is here to help you discover all of them. Audible is the home of storytelling and lets you enjoy all of your audio entertainment in one simple, convenient app. They offer an amazing selection of audiobooks from every genre, like bestsellers, new releases, memoirs, mysteries, business, and more. There's always something new to discover along with your old favorites. If you're a thrill seeker, Audible is the place for you. Their selection of mystery and thriller titles, plus highly anticipated new releases, will keep your heart racing month after month. And Audible's next listen recommendation means that there's always something that you'll love at your fingertips. Audible members get full access to a growing selection of included audiobooks, Audible originals, and even podcasts. You can download or stream them wherever you would like and whenever you would like. Plus, members can pick one title every month from the entire catalog to keep. With thousands of titles, you'll definitely find something you love all in one convenient app so that you can listen anywhere, anytime. So if you're into the whole crime mystery thing, my sister actually just told me about a title called The Last Thing He Told Me by Laura Dave. And I gotta be honest, I'm not really into these kind of things because I get too scared too easily. And she was like, no, it will not scare you. You will love it. You'll be so into it. So I guess that's gonna be my next listen. So new members can try Audible now for free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/woe or text woe, W-H-O-A to 500-500. That's audible, A-U-D-I-B-L-E .com/woe or just text woe to 500-500 to try Audible for free for 30 days. Go check it out, friends. So obviously you have just a huge heart for worship in general. I've thought so much about this. So tell me where all that was birthed. I mean, you said at 7 years old, you're already writing songs. What was that like when you were young? Did you know that this was kind of the calling on your life, or were you just kind of doing it for fun?
No, I knew it forever, but I still loved it, if that made sense. Like, yeah. I never felt forced at all. I just felt like, what? This is the family business. Like, we just, yeah. You know, I imagine if, like, I grew up on a farm or something and, you know, this is what we did. If we sold eggs and whatever in order to make money, like, then you would just be getting, like, I don't know what it is. I don't know anything about farms.
Getting the eggs, getting the milk. Yes. We got a little farm at our house.
Oh, yeah. Milking the cow. Right? Like, I'm like, I would be doing all of that stuff because that's just the family business. My parents are worship leaders, songwriters, singers, cool. They're artists. Cool. They've always been since my mom was carrying me and they were traveling and singing all over the world. And so this is just what I grew up into. And I was like, I feel like I had no choice. And I got this honestly,
you know, awesome.
I grew up in rehearsals. I watched my parents writing songs and working on them and rehearsing. They sang together in a duo, cool. And they led worship at church. And so I grew up with at-home rehearsals. It is not foreign. It was not foreign for my brother and I to have the TV on like 100 because my parents were downstairs singing and rehearsing their songs.
Awesome.
And so I remember like they used to sing a lot of one style of music. And then I remember when they started the song, "This is the air I breathe.
Come on.
This is the air I'm your only breath." I was like, wait, what? This is different. That is like, it started to bring me in. So I'd be washing the dishes and listening to them rehearse and be like in a full worship moment with the Lord and just like encountering him. And so I grew up around it and
that's
I always
awesome.
Knew that like, this is what I wanted to do. That doesn't mean I didn't have a plan B, C, and
yeah.
D, but thank God I didn't need to do those. But yeah, I always knew that this was my life, my
that's
calling.
Cool.
And I've just always loved it.
That's awesome. So speaking of plan B, C, and D, I did read somewhere that you went to culinary school, which maybe that's why palatable, was that the word, was on your mind because
yes. You
know how to put together a plate. So how did that happen? Like, and where did the shift from like, okay, I'm in culinary school, now I'm like back to leading worship. What was that season of your life like?
Honestly, I was pregnant with my daughter, April, and I was staying home more often. And then I think through the season that I had her, maybe the first 6 months of having her, all I watched was the Food Network.
Same.
That was
same.
It. Sadie, it was really bad. And I realized, I was like, oh, I love that. I like that. I started to go out and just, so cooking, like, I'd always loved to cook, but it wasn't like something I actually thought I could do. I think that me going to culinary school was me proving to myself that I could do something
that
I was afraid
cool.
of, you know, like you can do this and you can learn how to do this and put
yeah.
it together and create what you see when you go to a restaurant or what you're seeing on this TV
yeah.
because this is all you're doing. I don't think that my daughter watched Dora until way later. Like there were no kids shows. There was just Food Network, Bobby Flay,
yes.
like everybody, Rachel Ray all
That's
day
awesome.
And night. And I went to culinary school and I learned how to cook, and I decided that I would never work in a restaurant when I did my externship. And it was just so fast paced. Yeah. I wanted to do like corporate dining, yeah, or catering. I would do that. Maybe I would have my own restaurant. And so like create the meals and have someone else cook. But me as like the sous chef or the...
No, not working. Okay. Well, not to get like too spiritual, but again, if you have the IC, but do you see a lot of correlation with just what you were doing there in the kitchen and worship? Because I mean, even with what you were saying at the beginning about the artwork that it is, the putting together, and even the putting together of a plate and the creativity of what you're making, and then offering it to someone as a gift. I mean, I feel like it's so spiritual.
100%. I learned, and I'll just take you through some of it. First of all, the way that they run kitchens, like that whole methodology is very military-like. So you need to come, you need to have your uniform on, shoes, top to bottom. I'm talking about hat, tie, you know, and everything. Then they check you. You line up in the morning and you have to be on time. You cannot be late. You line up in the morning and the chef inspects your outfit because it's a safety thing. It's literally like armor for you, you know? And so you have to have two side towels and an apron on and all of that. And it has to be tied correctly, because if it's tied too loosely, somebody can trip and fall, slip and fall. Like, the kitchen is a very dangerous place. And so you have to be sure that you have that. We got a knife kit, right? And so we had all of our knives, and you have to sharpen the knives. You have to make sure that your tools are ready.
Wow.
There's so much prep. They call it mise en place, right? So like before you even start cooking, you have to have everything in place that you need. You know how we cook at home when we're making something and then we go, like when you need green peppers, then you cut them up and then throw them in, and then it's like, oh, I need milk. And so you're running to the... That's not the case in culinary school. Like, everything is in place so that when you're cooking, you're not waiting, because procedure is king. Procedure is king, even over ingredients. Wow. And so think about it like this. So when you make cookies, you're supposed to cream the butter and the sugar together first in order for it to come out and to be the batter consistency of a cookie. And if you don't do that, what you find is that you can't even put it together to really form the cookies. When you put it in the oven, the ingredients don't mix together. And so what I found in life is that, and the Lord was teaching me through culinary school, that procedure and process and the way you do things are even more important than the actual ingredients, you know? And so like now I'm gluten-free. And so I know I can swap out all this flour for almond flour, or I mean, I need to add a little other, you know, something else. But the ingredients don't even fully matter. It's the process and the procedure in order to get the product that we would go, oh, that's a
cookie. Come on.
And not just some slimy, weird thing.
Yeah, that's so good. And that is the problem, because whenever I'm making cookies like homemade, I'll be like, oh, well, it doesn't really matter if you do that first. But it does matter. It does matter. Every little thing matters. That's why you gotta do it right. And so that is so true, especially just in life and ministry and all the things. Like the things that we're doing now, a lot of people might think, oh, it just happens. But no, this is 5 years in the making. This is, you know, a lot of prep work before you actually see the end result, and not even the end result, so you even get started half the time. So talk to me about the process for you, because you put out a song, Pour Me Out, and that song led to some incredible things. So talk about the journey of putting out that song and kind of what it led to.
Pour Me Out was such a special moment. I don't know if you had these experiences, but you ever been like writing a song and you know, like, oh, this is a God thing. I don't know what he's doing, but it's God. There was a song I worked on with a rapper, and I wrote like a bridge to it. And I asked him, I was like, hey, I really feel like this is a worship song. Like, can I just take this piece? You know, I wrote it, but I just wanted to be like, can I take this and write to it? So I remember one day I went and sat in my living room. Nobody was home. My husband had the kids out at my mother-in-law's house. And I sat there and I wrote Pour Me Out. Just that, pour me out. All I am is yours. All I am is yours. And it seems so simple. Like, is that it? Wrote the second part, and then I sent it to my friend. I was like, hey, we have to do this. I mean, from the moment that I first it literally, like, everybody was like, oh, we need this. There were videos. It was going viral. I went to the Doves. And when I say this, I'm not saying that, like, Like, we need everything to go viral in order for it to be important.
Yeah.
But the way that the Lord was using it was like, oh, no, this is something that's bigger than you. Cool. It's bigger than the city, because that's where I'm from. It's bigger than this region. Like, I want to do something with you. So I went out to the Dove Awards to a new artist showcase, and they asked me to sing it there. And the Lord told me, bring your guitar. And I'm like, why? Because they were actually wanting to listen to the song. So I was supposed to stand there while they listened to it and explain it or answer any questions they had. But the Lord's like, bring your guitar. And I didn't fight him. I brought the guitar. And so as the song kind of got to the end, like, we just all kind of went to worship. Now I was able to, like, play and continue to worship. And that moment ended up the moment that kind of went viral in the gospel community. And then Todd Delaney was like, I want to record this song. That literally was like the beginning of what we see now. Wow. And I'm just like, how does stuff like that happen? Because it was so random. Even the fact that that's I was so going, cool. I didn't even like sign up to go. Somebody was like, hey,
wow.
You know, like the Lord was like, hey, do this. And I didn't want to, but I feel like in those moments of obedience, he allowed the music to get out. Ultimately, it wasn't so that I could have a career. It wasn't for that. It was like, oh, I want to do something, or this is what I'm calling you to, and this is what I want to do. And so I'm going to do what I need to do to get you to that place in that position. And it literally like snowballed from there. And I'm still
Yeah.
How did this happen? I would have just been home watching the Food Network.
Hey, that is crazy. And that butter analogy is honestly so good, because it's true. It wasn't meant to be in the microwave. And so many people in our generation want to put everything in the microwave. They want to speed the process up. They want to make it happen fast, except for that is not the way that you get a good cookie. You let it sit out and you let it get to room temperature. A natural process. You got to wait. You got to wait on it. And yes. So waiting on the Lord in those moments for God to mature you in such a way that you're even ready to make the cookie. God, that analogy could go so far. It's so good. I love it. And yeah, your life has been crazy since. So after that, that's how you got connected to Mav City. Correct me if I'm wrong. And so when you got to be a part of Mav City, did you just jump all in? Because you've sang some big songs with Mav City. My brother, no joke, my brother... he's adopted, but he was adopted when he was 2 weeks old. So he is my brother through and through. He has a massive tattoo on his leg that says Gyra, because that song means so much to him. So, I mean, like, we just love Mav City. I mean, I've listened to it in some of the hardest times of the past few years for me, some of the greatest times of the past few years for me. Those have just been our songs. And so when you got to be a part of that, what were those songs to you, and how did that process start?
Yeah, I mean, so I was there from the beginning. So that I was there before it was Maverick City. And so I think that was another one of those processing, waiting, like, to see, like, is this legit or what is this? Because we didn't actually plan for this to be any of this. It was a publishing company. So it was more about writing songs and working together. And so we sang at first, after being invited to like a worship set, myself, Dante Bow, Chandler Moore, Alton Eugene, we were all singing and running. And then Tony, who was the founder of Maverick, he was like, hey, do you want to record songs?
So
we sang songs, and that became Maverick City Volume 1. We had gotten, like, so before we even had a name, we didn't have anything. We were just singing songs and worshiping. Chandler and I, we sang our first duet. We wrote the song and sang it like within 2 days. You're welcome in this place. I sang I Am Loved. Dante did Real Thing, if I'm not mistaken. And what is that? Oh, I won't let go. I'll see you after you are. There's just like a bunch of songs that happened like in that moment. And so it just kind of spiraled. And I don't know how I got on the big songs, except Jesus. I do know that, you know, there are moments once you kind of know people and what kind of moments they can maybe steward or carry, that they're just like, hey, you want to do this, you want to do that. But honestly, everything is very equal opportunity. Everybody gets an opportunity to come to the table, and some songs just
it's awesome
come up and they become the thing. And this is in my mind, I'm like, this is all chance, even though I'm not that silly. I know God is working and moving and there's something specific he wants us to do. But when I see songs like Gyra and Promises and what God has done with them, I'm like,
wow. It's so cool. Girl, it's so cool. Well, what's awesome about Map City, too, is that it is such a collective of voices. Like, that, to me, is so powerful, that it's not about one person, and that makes it feel like such a move of God. And you're right. Like, certain people are just right to steward that moment, and you steward those songs so well. I mean, you lead so well. It's really cool. So let's talk about this new album, because this is so exciting, and this is your album, 22 tracks. Like, what? That is so good. And so tell me about this. Tell me about how it came up, this literal journey that it was to even write some of these songs. Tell me about the car chats, all of it. I just love it.
So Journey, I started in 2016. And it was because the Lord said to me, I was in prayer one day, and I said one of those really corporate prayers. I was like, God, whatever you want to do, I trust you. And you have the final say. Like, it was one of those prayers. And the Lord was like, okay, so when are you going to tell me how you feel? And I was like, no, I feel that you can do all things but fail. You are more than, you know, I was just like, doing a corporate prayer. And he was like, no, he said, Naomi, you're still wearing a loincloth in my presence. And we were never meant to be that way. You're still covered and you're still praying from a place of shame. And so that took me out. He was like, dealing with my worship. He was like, you're worshiping from shame. You're still covered up. You're not being real, 100% vulnerable and transparent. And let's work on it. And so I started to write those songs then. And so for me, like Gyra, those songs are like, and I had an album called Back to Eden. And really, it was supposed to be a double album, like Journey, Back to Eden. So they were supposed to go together, because the songs on Journey are like the BTS of those worship moments that we might see that are more maybe public or corporate worship. And to me, Journey is a worship album. It's just not the genre. It's the actual walking through things with the Lord. And so I spent a lot of time in my car talking to the Lord and whoever else would listen about the process that the Lord was taking me through. And I wanted to put that on the album in between the songs, because I know that, and you probably know this too, because you're on this podcast as well. And so you're talking a lot, and people can misconstrue something you say. No matter how much you say something, they can twist it, turn it to mean whatever they want it to mean. And I wanted to give as much context for some of these songs as possible, because I think when you're in the process of figuring things out, like imagine reading the book of Ecclesiastes and not being all the way okay with Jesus. You could really like fall away, because it's so like, oh no, it's like everything is vanity, everything's meaningless. It's like, no, you know, if you're not solid, you could get lost. And so I feel like this album is like an Ecclesiastes type of album. And it needed context. And so I needed to put my voice on there and saying some of the process. And I think with inflection and with tone, you can kind of hear where some things are still questions, where some things are solid and I'm sure. And I just thought that it was the most responsible thing I could do as somebody who technically I'm a faith leader, you know, like you're a leader in this space and people are influenced by you. And I just wanted to be responsible with the platform.
That's so good. I love it. Well, I think that it's so important, because I love how you said this isn't supposed to be like a perfect album, wrap a bow on it. It's not supposed to be the, you know, God, you're so good. Like, yes, he's so good. And yes, let's talk about his goodness, but let's also talk about like the reality of what we're walking through right now and how it's hard. And how do we find his goodness in this? And I think the starting the conversation of that, it just deepens people's faith, because if you avoid the hard conversations, that doesn't make you any more intimate with God. That doesn't make you any more close to his goodness. And I love, it was so funny. I was watching you and Priscilla in the car chats, and she said, you can't just listen and just enjoy this album. She was like, you're going to be sitting with this and you're going to be like, oh Lord, like you can't just enjoy it. And that's so true. It's like, yes, you enjoy it and you can be like jamming your dance and you're like, this is so good. And then you're like, oh, wait a second, hold up. Like that just hit me. And like, I think in life, like we need those hold up, wait a minute moments. Like, let's talk about this. Let's deal with this. Let's lean in a little bit further. So I love it. Was there a song that you were writing in this that you felt like more of a wrestle than the others that you're like, okay, this one's actually kind of hard, or was it all just a process?
It was all a process, but honestly, there's Choosing Myself and Still Alone. At first it was one song, so they went into one another, and Choosing Myself was really a conversation that I was having with me when I realized that I had become someone else. I became who I thought I needed to be to just literally be and live and show up as a wife and a mom and a friend and a daughter. I had become something else. And as the Lord was taking me on this journey, he was like, hello, but this is who you actually are. And some of this is not good and you need to accept it so that you can move forward. And some of this is amazing and this is who I made you to be, but you've tried to tame that and pull that back so you can be more palatable to people and what they want. And so I had to confront myself. And so that was one of the hardest songs, I think, to release because I literally got into my studio and just sang that thing through. So I literally like sang it out and wrote it that way. I did not write it down. I had to go back and transcribe it after. And I'm telling you, and then Still Alone, I did take a little bit more time on, but that one was like, I literally like sang through it. It was a lot for me to release it because it almost, I'm like, oh God, are people going to think I'm schizophrenic? You know, are they going to think that I'm crazy? I'm not crazy, but this is the process. I'm having to choose myself. Not me in a selfish way, like self and flesh. Choose who I actually am and choose to show up as that and hope that people will still love me, accept me, like me, you know, because I don't want to be unliked and I don't want to live for the rest of my life, you know, with people saying you changed or you used to be this way and, you know, and now you're not. That was difficult. But if I'm honest, it's the thing I'm most proud of for myself. I'm like, I did it and I don't have to pretend. And I didn't just let the Lord do the process internally. I let people know I'm different now. And it's because I'm going back to who I truly am and who God's made me to be.
That is so good. What a great message. And I totally can relate to that because I write books. And so when I write a book, sometimes you're writing stuff and you're like, oh, this is like so easy to write, but how am I ever going to let anybody else read this? You know, because this is like so exposing. And what I found, and I actually gave advice to someone else for this because they came to me like, Sydney, I'm about to put out a book, but it's like all my things. And I'm like, oh, then people are going to think this and that. And I said, to be honest, what I've found with people reading my books is I'm not going to say no one. Probably some people are like, oh, Sadie, no, but some people might be like that. But for the most part, people do not read something like that or listen to something like that and say, oh, Naomi struggled with that and she thinks this. They say, oh my gosh, I am the same way, or I can relate, or wow, like that's my story. And people begin to see themselves in your story, because when people come to listen to your music, of course they love your music, but they're listening for them, you know, which isn't a bad thing. Like when you're in the car listening to songs, like I'm not thinking of, oh, this is so-and-so. I'm thinking, man, I needed this, you know? And so when you're willing to be vulnerable enough to put yourself out there, it's amazing that people aren't like, oh, it's not about you. It's about God. It's about what God's doing in their lives. It's about their story becoming better. So I just love it. You have a song called Brand New, and this quote is so good. I made up my mind that even if I never find the fairy tale ending, it's just a chapter. And I just thought it was so good because so many people are like looking for the fairy tale ending and like on this search for this. And I think a lot of that probably is because of social media, you know, because everything a lot of times looks like a fairy tale. And if your life doesn't look like a fairy tale, then what's wrong with your life? You know, how do you own where you're at and not microwave the butter to get to the good stuff?
I think it's trusting.
That's good.
The history. I think you have to start from an initial place of trust, you know, so that you can get the actual cookie the way it's supposed to be. Sometimes it comes from failure, where you try to make the cookie and it's like greasy and like burnt on the ends and not good. And so you realize, okay, wait, maybe I did something wrong. Let me try it again. You know? But for me, it is that it's like, oh, this works. This doesn't work. And every day that line gets me. When I listen to back to the music, that line always gets me because it's difficult. I think every day I need my mind renewed to remember, like, okay, Jesus, whatever you have for me is what will be. And it doesn't have to be like what I see in someone else's life. I'm actually living my dreams. You know, like I'm literally living in the fulfillment of everything. And I didn't want much. All I wanted to do was sing. And I think I added on the end, I was like, but Lord, can I make a little money too so I can take care of my family? Yeah, that was like the, like, you know, but even if I can't, I just want to be able to sing and use my gifts to glorify you. And so when people see me, they really look at you. That's all that I wanted. And when I think about the bad things that are going on in my life, I'm still like reminded of like, oh no, like this is actually still a great story. And
it's good.
I'm going to be okay, you know.
That's great. So I know there was a moment in your life I heard somewhere, and I might botch this because I don't know a lot about this, but it's like you had a moment where you had, was it polyps or something on your vocal cords? Okay, so that's obviously one of those moments where it's a chapter of life that's so hard, and it's coming at like the thing that you're gifted to do and you're called to do. Like, take us to that, because so many people, that might not be what they have, but they have something that is coming like directly at what God has called them to do. And that's confusing when that happens, you know?
But Sadie, here's the thing. Remember the story I told you when you asked about Pour Me Out and like how it got me through? So in the midst of that, I got diagnosed with those polyps. And it was so painful to sing. I went to voice therapy. And she was like, sometimes we can, you know, use therapy to get polyps down, but you need surgery. I went to the ENT. I did all the things that were like, yeah, you need surgery. You can't sing for this amount of time. So we're going to schedule it for here. I was distraught. Do you understand? Because I'm like, how is this going to happen? I hate the idea of this. Don't put a knife to my vocal cords. This is all I have. But the Lord used that season to help me take my identity out of singing, right? But this is what happened. When my surgery was scheduled was the day, the same day that I had gone to that Dove showcase.
No way.
Yes. And I and when you brought it up, I was like, oh my goodness, I forgot the testimony. That's how you know God
That's
is good.
True.
When you forget, you know, like when you don't even have to be worried or thinking about it, like, he's brought me through so much. I was supposed to be getting surgery. And in faith, the Lord was like, what are you going to do? He asked me. He said, what are you going to do? And I was like,
oh my gosh.
Okay, I'm going to go here. And I believe you're going to heal me. I went there. I did the things. I ended up going to a service. Somebody prayed for me. It was like, honestly, it was like a terrible prayer. And it was like, it was like one of those like, Lord, heal her vocal cords. Amen. I was like, you're not saying in Jesus' name. Like, wait, like I need you to really pray hard for me. When I tell you, I went back to because my voice started feeling a little better. And I was like, oh, let me go back to the ENT and just check. I didn't think anything happened. When they went back and checked my vocal cords, the polyps were gone.
Oh my gosh.
I'm telling you. Like a miracle. I never had to get surgery. I never had those vocal problems again. It was literally a stumbling block. It was like a faith test. And I'm telling you, and that's a miracle that I should really talk about more often, but I don't even remember when exactly it happened because I still had a little bit of struggle after that prayer. It wasn't like my voice just instantly. I don't know when God did it, but I know he did it.
Come on. Okay. Okay, you really should talk about that more. You should definitely talk about that more. That is so cool. But you're also right in the sense of like, you know, God is good when you forget. Because that is so true. Like, okay, like I actually was talking to a friend this morning at breakfast. We were talking about a situation that just happened to me. And it probably should have like made me more upset. But I was like, I actually kind of forgot it happened. I was telling like one of my best friends about it. And I said, did I tell you this happened to me? And she was like, how did you not tell me that? And I was like, see, you know what's crazy is I think that that is just showing how, like, deeply in the presence of God I am right now, because the similar thing happened to me last year, and that is all I could talk about for 2 months. And then it happened this year, and I forgot. Like, I literally didn't even tell one of my best friends. And I was like, you know, that is when you see that God is good. And sometimes God does just, you know, he really does, like, heal you so much in that moment that you're like, okay, moving on. That's good. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. We're moving forward. But then there is something to being like, no, let me testify for a second, because listen to what God just did. Like, that's so cool.
Okay, because I'm over here really encouraged. Like, I needed to remember that. And if you didn't say that, I probably would not be this happy right now.
Come on. I love it. I love it. We prayed that joy would come to people, and it's coming. Well, I want to ask you about this, because this is so good. You said this with Priscilla on that car chat I listened to, which, by the way, for those listening, if you haven't listened to her car chats, you can find it on her Facebook and her YouTube page, and they are so good. I mean, it truly makes you feel like you're your best friend. Like, and like, oh yeah, we're just hanging, we're just chilling. And because me and Priscilla actually are friends, I felt like I was in this moment. I was like laughing at Priscilla's dances and everything. But you said to her, and it was like this epiphany when you said it, you said, if you love me, obey me. And you're talking about that with the Lord. And you said, I think that might be the greatest gift we have. Like, if we obey, if we love him, we obey him. And that might be the greatest gift. And I was like, you know what? That's just a cool thought. And we don't talk about that a lot. So I wanted to bring that up. And I want you to just talk about that for a minute, of what it looks like to just be, to walk in obedience with the Lord and the blessing that it brings.
Yeah, I just think the Lord has proven to me over time that the best thing for me to do is obey. And so, you know, some people, they believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Bible, yep. Right? They That's don't necessarily true. Believe in the Holy Spirit. And the fact that he is a gift Jesus gives to us, he convicts the world of sin, but he also teaches us. He's the paraclete that comes alongside of us, yeah, to guide us and to lead us to where we need to go. And that Proverbs, is it Proverbs 3:4-6?
Yeah.
Which is like, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. I think obedience is the quickest way to be in the will of the Father, to be used according to your purpose. You know, like, we know there are vessels that he just uses. He says, these are vessels that are for sacred use, and these are maybe not so sacred use. And that's, we just good, get to be exactly who he's called us to be. And I think that when we are disobedient and not connected to him, it is hard for us to live a life of fulfillment and live in the fullness of everything that he's called us to. And it was an epiphany in that moment, because I've always read that scripture of, like, if you love me, you'll obey me, of this thing of like, I have to do, because this was going to be what helps me be accepted to him. But then I think in that moment and in that context, I started to think about how my obedience to him isn't just for me, it's for others, you know? And I think about how one man sinned and sin entered the earth, but then one man died and, like, freedom, it came to everyone. And I think if we're following and trying to be like Christ, we get to be like that one man and love and be obedient to him and not continue in sin, but make this thing that kind of pushes back a lot of the evil and the darkness of the world.
It's good. You know? I love that. And you know what? You said this just a second ago, whenever you were talking about how you saw that scripture and how you interpreted it. And isn't it crazy? Because you actually mentioned this in the car chat too. You were like, if God actually loved me the way sometimes I view God loves me, then it would be a sad praise. You said, if God loved me the way that I love me, it would be a sad praise. And I was like, that is so true, because sometimes, like, I think what we perceive, what we would think God would be saying, because that's how we would say it, then we start to think that God's disappointed, or God thinks da da da, or God thinks we're not enough, or God, and that's just not true. That's so far from true. And I get like that too. Like, I had a moment the other day where I just didn't have time. Like, I didn't get up early enough to have time to just spend with the Lord. But then I went to work, and all day long, I honestly sat with the Lord, because I was working on messages and I was working on prep and all this different kind of stuff. And I was reading the word, and I was like, at the end of the day, I was so mad at myself for not getting up. And I felt like the Lord was disappointed in me. And I'm like, what is my, like, I, like, that God is not like, well, you missed me this morning, like, as if he was waiting on me and I ditched him for breakfast, whenever right. it's like, no, we spent all day together. And I think sometimes it's like, we need to make sure that we're checking ourselves whenever we're putting something on God that's something that God never put on himself. That's something that God would never say. God would never do outside of his character. Well, I love this chat. This is so good. I'm so excited for people to hear this, and I'm so excited for people who are listening to go listen to Journey, her new album. And like she mentioned, this whole journey and this album is a process. It's a process of her emotions and things she's thinking about, things she's worshiping through. And I just know it's going to bless all of you guys to take the time to go listen. So excited for y'all to dive into all of that. And Naomi, thank you for just being a great example to so many people. Thank you for leading us in worship. You've literally led global worship, and that is something that I'm so grateful God put on your life to do, because it's blessed me in so many moments. And I'm so grateful for this album. Continue doing all that you're doing, and we are cheering you on as loud as we can.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you. I could talk to you forever, and this was so nice to be a part of. I love this. Like, thank you.